Pump up the volume on your parenting with Parent Pump Radio. Tune into something different that makes a difference. At Parent Pump Radio, instead of a ripple, we choose to create a splash. Get energized, get inspired, and get informed with how to parent in the new millennium with your host and parent coach super guide, Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen.
Hi, this is Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen. We're here to pump up your parenting skills, pump up your knowledge, and pump up your energy. Welcome to Parent Pump Radio. Our show is available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, and it's also syndicated on missionsradio.org and liveleadplay.com. So we're less than 2 weeks away from Christmas, and if you'd like to add a small gift to someone, consider getting my Amazon number one best-selling book called Amazing Itty Bitty Book on Family Leadership. 15 simple tips successful companies use that families can implement at home as a holiday gift. It's just $6.99 on paperback. The link to purchase the book is in the show notes, and you can search it on Amazon. So I'm really excited for 2018. The new year is coming. I'm looking forward to setting new goals. I hope you are too, and actually achieving them. Are you thinking about a New Year's resolution yet? Are you looking to be healthier, better, stronger in some ways? Do you want to have kids you don't have to yell, nag, punish, or just to get them to do something? Do you want to start a whole new family with the same old people? Well, contact us and join our Integrative Mind Harmonious Family Blueprint Program. It's a 3-month commitment. You can email us at info@integrativeminds.com with your contact information so we can schedule you an interview. The link is in the show notes. Remember that the family structure and foundation is the number one defense against teenage substance abuse, pregnancy, depression, stress, and so many other things. We have one more show after this show for the year 2018. One thing that I wanted to do was leave the show with you guys on a great note with some inspirational stories that whatever you're going through, whatever you've been through, you can make it. So today I have someone that is just what I'm talking about, very inspirational. He had a very roller coaster journey in his life, but yet he's turned it around. One that he's grown and learned from and has become a great husband, an awesome father, and an asset to society. I know I fully can relate to his journey, and I hope that his story resonates with you and can inspire you wherever your journey in life is right now. He's an award-winning business growth strategist, founder and chief inspiration officer at Be Your Best Today, which is dedicated to empowering and educating people so they can live the life they love and build massively successful companies people love. He's a certified coach and the creator of the Total Branding Blueprint. His strategies have transformed hundreds of businesses in Canada and the U.S. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to Kevin Hun. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Jacqueline. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much. I love your last name because it's just one letter short of my last name.
Exactly. Beautiful names coming together. You know, beautiful people coming together with beautiful last names.
Absolutely. So I know you're in a pretty great place in your life right now. You're doing very well in business and family, but I know success didn't start out that way. I know you didn't realize your dream until you were 43 years old.
Yeah.
So tell us about some of your trials and tribulations before you became successful.
Well, you know, it's funny. Success is a funny thing, for everybody, because we put these definitions on it and we base it on what we think the outside world calls success, and then we try to live up to what other people say it is. So for me, at 5 years old, I told my dad I want to go to pro hockey. I mean, a Canadian boy in the 70s growing up, you know what? It had to be hockey. So I was 5 years old. I started playing hockey, got into it, liked it, started getting into it. And then it was like, okay, this journey became this, I'll call it an obsession. I mean, it literally went from, okay, yeah, this will be a fun thing to do and keep doing it and doing it, and then, you know, struggling. I mean, if anybody has played a sport, you know, you think of anybody, baseball, hockey, football, basketball, it doesn't matter sport, there's always ups and downs. There's always, you know, seasons that are great, seasons that are terrible, you know, and as the athlete, you just do, you know, you bounce around and do what you can. Well, at 18, after bouncing around for so many years, and I'm trying out now for junior Canadians, which It was pretty high profile and still is today because this is where the NHL draft their players. You know, the 18-year-old drafted player in hockey, a lot of them come from there. They come from university as well, but in junior hockey. Anyway, I got cut and I was devastated. It was like life is over. My whole, you know, five to 18 and my life's over now because I'm not going to make it. And I can remember just looking and saying, oh my God, what am I going to do? Like, what's the point of living? And I had a high school teacher say to me, you know, you should try coaching. And I was like, what? Like I thought, no, that's all for old men. Like, you know, at the time there wasn't a lot of girls hockey. So that I was aware of. So it was like, you know, I was like, I'm not going to be an old guy doing this thing. Anyway, I literally was like, fine. And it was almost like the dog, you know, with the tail between the legs and like, oh, you kind of get scared and you come through. I go, fine. So I show up at the rink. And I step on the ice and I work with a couple of kids. It was kind of funny. I'm 18. They're like 14. I'm calling them kids. Like, you know, it was hilarious. And I started working with them and I was like, holy cow, like, whoa. And then I worked with this one player and I tried to show him to do something and he did it and he got it. And then he, you know, his face lit up and he got excited and he goes, oh my God, I can do this. I can do this. And I went, oh my God, I did that. And it was like this whole new dream, passion, desire just came to life again. And I said, okay, I can be a coach. And that was 1982. And I literally coached hockey up until a couple of years ago. But the focus at the time at 18 was, okay, now I can get back. Okay, now I'm back on track, right? It was like, I got derailed, but it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a player, but okay, I can be a coach. And so I just started coaching and I just loved coaching. And it was interesting. So here's kind of a funny thing. Sometimes we'll have a passion or an excitement or something that inspires us or motivates us to do something. And we get so focused on it that we don't think about anything else along the way. We actually don't pay attention. It's almost like a subconscious thing versus a conscious thing. So for me, it was all about hockey. Well, I had to put food on the table and hockey wasn't paying the bills. So I was like, you know, I was working big companies, small companies, consulting, working for myself, but it didn't matter. It didn't matter what job, company, business, and intellectual capital I was acquiring along the way. Cause I was like, I was so focused on hockey. And I literally, to your point, so from basically 18 to 42, I mean, I just kept chasing this dream, trying to get to pro hockey. And in 2007, I got hired to be the director of business development for the Central Hockey League, which is two tiers down from the NHL. But as a fun thing, I got to sit on the board of the National Hockey League's program called Diversity, which is grassroots hockey. And I got involved with a couple of strategic calls and helped them out because that was all about helping the underprivileged kids. So I thought, oh my God, I've made it to, you know, where I thought I was. And I didn't realize that the only reason I made it there was because of not only my hockey passion and joy and knowledge of the game, but it was my business knowledge. It was all this stuff that I acquired on my journey that I didn't give much respect to. I was like, yeah, whatever. Anyway, it's just a job. But what was just a job ended up being one of the greatest assets that actually helped me throughout the years as being, I guess, a business person.
Yeah.
Chasing my dream, trying to get the pro hockey. So it's kind of funny.
Yeah. It's like, it's all the wisdom that you create from the failure, I guess. I mean, you know, for me, when I look back at it, in the moment, it seemed like failure, but now you're like, wait, that wasn't failure.
Oh, exactly.
It was just more knowledge and wisdom that gave me the tools to help others get out of it.
Exactly. And you know, what's interesting is one of the things that I kept hearing over and over was like, okay, when are you going to stop this thing? Like, when are you going to stop chasing this dream? When are you going to stop? Yeah. And I mean, I got a file about an inch thick of letters that are no. And you think of how thick a piece of paper is. And I got like an inch thick of letters saying no. And I have one letter saying yes. And I use that as an analogy. I just show people, I go, well, how bad do you want the dream? Like, how bad are you willing to do it? So for me, it was like, you know, 20 plus years of sending letters and writing and meetings and conversations and just trying to get better every year at it. And it was like, oh my God, like I even looked at many times throughout the course of my career, like, what the heck am I doing? You know, I was like, you know, what's going on? But here's the fun part about it. And I think this has probably been in the last couple of years, one of the biggest aha moments in my own career. And that is, there's no point of arrival in life.
Absolutely.
There's absolutely nothing that says, okay, you've made it. In other words, you made it successfully, you made it financially, you've made it spiritually, you've made it healthily. There's no arrival. Because when you get to the point where you thought before was that arrival point, when you get there, now you got your sights set on the new thing. So you really are not there because now you get the new sight in the mind, right? And it was like, oh my God, like my journey of going to pro hockey. Oh yeah, okay, I made it to pro hockey. But when I was there, that like, okay, it was there. I was like, okay,
now what?
Next. Now
what?
Like, I was looking all, yeah, I was already looking down the road. And it's kind of funny. You go, did you not take a moment and enjoy this? The minute I got told I was hired, I enjoyed the moment. It was absolute. I never want to say I never was appreciative. And it was such a privilege to be involved with pro hockey. But it was, as I got there, it was like, okay, so next, what's that next thing? So now that I'm here, ooh, what else could happen? And that's what happens to us as human beings, right? It's that consumption mindset or this innate thing that's in us that actually has us just constantly driving forward. You know, it's this thing to want to live, right? And I'll call it a race to dying. We're born and then we basically do that race and then we die.
I think human beings are one of the only species that it's constantly evolving to more knowledge. You look back even 5 years ago and look at technology, where it was 5 years ago and where we are now. I think as human being, we have this core need to always want to learn more, to be more, to just have more of our, you know, something to feed our mind.
Exactly. It's like an evolution. And I put in the evolution process is the creation process, right?
Yeah.
We're constantly creating.
Right, right.
You know, we're creating new emotions for ourselves, creating new energy, creating new lifestyles, creating new relationships, we're constantly creating, you know, a new experience for ourselves in our lives. So that's why there's no point of arrival.
Right.
And so once I got that, it was like, oh my God, now it's like, okay, so now it's possible. Now I'm not worried about the race anymore.
Yeah.
Now I'm not worried about, oh, I got to get there. No, there's nowhere to get.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's enjoy this journey as you're on.
Right. So I'm going to step back. You said creating a relationship. I know that's something you had to learn in creating relationship because you're on your second marriage. You were divorced. I'm divorced. And were, I think, on that journey of creating, you know, I know you were young when you got married.
Yeah, I met my ex-wife. I was 26. I was 22 years old.
Wow, that is young.
And it was funny because she was 4 years older than I was. And we met and then we were married within 2 years. So we dated and we lived together for a bit of time. Then we got married. And it was interesting because it's easy to point the finger at the spouse, right? To go, they're the problem. And I look and I go, it was both of us. Like it was not a good match. There was just no interest to want to make things better, you know? And I don't care if it was part me, part her. The fact is we both were not committed to making it better. And you could meet some people and you go, yeah, they're nice. And by the way, every human being has the same intention in the world. One, to survival. And two is because they want to matter and they want to care and love. Mm-hmm. So if you look at every human being saying they want that, they go, that's good. So fundamental is there. But we don't all love the same things.
Yep.
You know, you may like, green and I like blue.
Right.
Well, it doesn't make you right and me wrong. It's just like, we just have two different likes. Well, that's what it was with my ex-wife and I. And we just didn't, there was a lot of not getting the similarities down the same path, no desires. And at one point, and I can remember being in the relationship, her sister came to me and said, are you sure you want to marry my sister? And I remember going, yeah, why? What's your problem? But in the back of my head, I went, yeah, like, you know, she's already sensing it. Right?
Yeah,
she already knows. And we laugh at that today, by the way. My ex-in-laws, I still talk to them some years later. And so we, you know, the friendships there. My ex-wife and I haven't talked in 10 years, but I've actually talked to her sister and we're Facebook friends. So it's funny, but you know, at the end of the day with the relationship, it was like being aware of, okay, this is not good. This is not healthy. And you know, when there's children involved, and it's so easy, you and I could both analyze any family relationship and go, oh, they should stay. They should break up. They should this. But it's so easy when you're on the outside to look in because you don't have the emotional connection.
Yep.
When you're on the inside, you really go, what am I doing? What's going on? Maybe it's not as bad as I think. Maybe I'm the idiot. Like, and you question a whole bunch of things. So we were together 7 years and I finally said, I got to go. And I had to keep my sanity. And that's why I left. I just said, you know what? Like, I love my kids to death and I'll make sure I spend time with them and I'm going to find time with them. In hindsight, I should have been with the kids full time and let her see them every couple of weeks. It was just, I was very close to my children. And it's funny, and I don't know if it's because I've been coaching hockey so long, but I'm just, I get, it's easy to have connection with kids.
Yeah.
My third child is with my new wife. We've been together 20 years, and her 16, 17 year old friends come over. They love hanging out with us. I mean, it's like, it's odd. You know, you go, what? And her friends go, we love your parents. We love your parents. And we just make it like they're friends.
Yeah.
Like we treat them like they're friends. They're not, you know, they're not incompetent. They're not frustrating. Nothing. Yeah. They're just kids who are learning, experiencing, and no different than we were when we were in our
team. Right. We've talked offline here, and you are a very hands-on dad. You're down there playing with them, entertaining them at a very young age. And so you've built this connection on every level, mind, soul, spirit.
Yeah. It's funny you say that. It's one of the things that I don't know where it came from, but it has never left me. It's always like, get down on the hands and knees and let's play. So as an adult, I just look at the kids and I get down on my hands and knees. Now, from a business perspective, which is kind of funny, when I was in pro hockey, we had the opportunity to bring a senior director from Disney in to talk. We were pro hockey, so we were entertainment. And we brought Disney in. And one of the tips that they shared, which absolutely I thought was brilliant, was, you know, if you're going to go deal, and I teach this in my training classes with business owners, I go, if you're trying to make your business work and you get a family who walks in, the first person you should go to is the littlest one. And of course, everybody just kind of looks at me a little puzzled and stuff. And I go, why? And what Disney does is they get down on their knees and they get eye level with the child and they talk to the child. Then they talk to the adults. And you know what happens? And it's absolutely psychologically, like it just works, like it works, it works. All of a sudden, the parents look and go, oh, this person's great. So you take care of the child and you take care of the parents. If you try to take care of the parents before taking care of the child, it doesn't work because then the kid feels left out. Doesn't? And it was like, oh my God. Now think about this. Imagine going to a baseball, hockey, football, basketball, NASCAR, any kind of sporting event. And they have that mindset and the children are taken care of before the adults. Man, it would just like you. I'm going back. That's why Disney's so successful, because that's what they do. They take care of the little ones, and they literally take care of the kid inside of you.
Absolutely.
As well. Do you know what I mean? Like they know we're all kids inside, right? And so you just get this feeling of, oh, this is so cool. So you smile from the inside out. Well, that and I totally off track on stuff, but it's thinking about going back to your point about relationships. So when I think of my kids, or think of even my kids' friends, like it go down on the all fours and just be with them. And it didn't matter the age, like 3, 5, 10, you know, 17. Obviously as teenagers, you don't get down on all fours, but you get down to their level and just have that conversation. And I'm not saying level like, oh, they're not as smart as you or anything like that, but you get what they resonate with, what's important to them, right?
Exactly. My son is 10 and my daughter's 13 and we have their friends over and, you know, we have so much fun because I'm one of those parents where I get down. I will pull board games out. We'll just laugh and joke around and we can't get them to leave. Like the parents will come and they're like, no, come on. Can we stay longer? You know, it's just bargaining thing when the parents come to pick them up.
They're right. They're like, you have to come now. You have to go now. Can I just stay? Can I stay?
Yeah. Hey, your dad just called. He's going to be here in 10 minutes. I'm like, what?
Exactly. Yep, I'm with you.
But I grew up in that kind of household. We were the home that all the kids came to. We always had the good food and my mom was always there. And so everybody came to our house and we had 5 girls all within a 6-year span. And so there was always somebody there you could play with. And my mom was an animal person. So we always had some cats and chickens and dogs or something. So
I love it.
Yeah, I got used to having that feeling and people always being there. And so when I have my kids now, it's like really fun to have their friends and knowing now how to act like on their level and really talk to them, having that skill set.
Yeah. And I find today what's really sad is that there are some parents who actually will kind of distance themselves from their children.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
And I saw it as a hockey coach with parents. Like some of the parents just like, you know, the kid's the kid and they do their thing. And then the parent just goes and does their thing and doesn't really have time for the child. And then we wonder why sometimes the children end up in environments that are not, I'll call it not so healthy. Mm-hmm. You know, is growing up. And I look and I go, all they want is to be heard and listened to.
Yep.
They're going through an emotional upheaval from about 16 to 20. It's almost like their brain, they check out of their body with their brain, then they come back in at about 20. So you just got to be there. And my mom used to say things like, I know where you are if you're here. I'd be like, oh, okay, whatever. But as a parent, it was like, oh my God, I see where she's coming from. Because we do worry as parents. We all do. I got this kind of a cool story. If I got like a minute.
Sure, go ahead.
A fellow I know who's in the National Hockey League, well known, he had a great story about having 9 brothers and sisters. And he said, you know, growing up in the 70s, he goes, in the 60s and 70s, he goes, you know, we go out and play and we'd be gone for 6, 7, 10 hours in a day.
Wow.
Right. And mom and dad would call us, dinner's ready, whatever. Today, he goes, you give your child a cell phone, they stand on the corner and you got your eye on them. You're not letting them out of their sight.
Yeah.
The society has changed. The world we live in has changed. And so now it's like we're in a panic kind of a mode. And I was laughing because I'm thinking, I remember that. We'd get up in the morning if we didn't have school and you'd go play street hockey and you'd be out all day. And then you'd come in, maybe you'd get hungry at lunch. And if you weren't eating at home, it's because one of the other moms made a bunch of sandwiches and everybody got a sandwich. Right? And you'd all eat. And then you go home for dinner and then we can get another hour in or 2 hours in before bedtime. Then we go back on the street. And it was like, okay, see ya. And my mom would stand on the balcony like, Gavin, you know, she'd be calling me. Today, are you kidding me? Like you're not out of sight with these kids. And where's your cell phone? And text me. Where are you? I want to know where you are. Where are you going to be? And how's it going? So society has also changed. Or the way we live has changed. Crappy stuff always happens. You know, unfortunately, think abductions and all these kind of things. And you go, oh my God, I don't want to ever have anything happen. And I don't know if we've put our kids in a bubble. I wonder if we're a bit of a kind of a crazy type of world we live in. So we just bring this into our house versus saying, you know what? We're going to be okay. We'll be fine. Trust, you know, teach good decision-making skills to your child and allow them to have that freedom. And if we can parent a little differently, in other words, understand that we're here to guide them. We don't own them. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the parents I know of, you know, it's almost like they own their child and they have to do it my way and my way. Yeah. And they go, why? Like, why? Yeah. Just because it's your way. How do we know it's the best way? Because I'm the parent.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't necessarily mean it's the right way, right?
You got to learn from them too. I've learned that you are the teacher and the student at all time. And that's especially to your children.
Absolutely. That's well said, actually.
I want to segue a little bit about your book that changed a lot of things that you did with your careers. In 2004, you wrote a book called Hockeyology. But it wasn't just about hockey, and that led to something pretty great in your life. So can you kind of sum that up?
Absolutely. Chasing the dream. So when I wrote the book, I still hadn't made it to pro hockey. So keeping in mind that my goal and my mission in life was just get to pro hockey. So I thought, okay, I'm not getting there. I'm not getting the chance. I'm not getting the breaks. What do I do? What do I do? And I thought, oh, I know what I need to do. I need to have a greater persona. I need to create this profile so people will give me some respect. And this is what was going through my head. So I write this book, and the journey was kind of interesting because it took me, I thought it was going to be done in a couple of weeks. Yeah, it took about a year and a bit.
Wow.
it was like, okay. But going through the journey, my wife and I, like, we got connected through this book in different ways, which is totally cool. She helped edit it. We stayed up. I can remember how many nights we'd stay up till 2, 3 in the morning, you know, editing the book. And she tried to get extracted out of my head and things. And then the book led to the NHL buying the book.
Uh-huh.
I had a TV show, a radio show, created a resource for people. It was basically known as the Oprah Winfrey of hockey, just because I covered all media. In other words, I was just trying to help families in youth hockey live a better lifestyle in terms of that sport. So what was kind of neat about it, and I'm not sure which story you refer to, because I get so, I always think about that. You know, sometimes the one that top of mind for me is somebody else. But I can remember just when I was doing the book and having this conversation with a woman out of, I think it was Washington, and she was a teacher, Spanish teacher. And I'm thinking, why would you buy a hockey book? You're a Spanish teacher. Like, I don't understand. And she wrote back going, oh my God, I loved your chapter on coaching. It got me to become a better teacher. Thank you so much. And I kept the email as a testimonial. I was like, this is hilarious. And I thought, you know what? It's not. And this is where it started, when I kind of like waking up to my own self in terms of what I offered. It wasn't just about hockey. My whole life was not just about hockey. It started about, how do I help other people live better lives? But I didn't have those words. It was just more of a feeling because I was getting this kind of information. So not sure if that was the story you were thinking of.
Well, yeah. I mean, here's this book that was really out of your passion for hockey, but then it actually transformed people that had nothing to do with hockey. And it was really a life skill book.
Yeah. And essentially, because you would get, I'll call it, some of the mechanics of hockey, like skating, shooting, passing, because I talk about the basics. But there's also coaching and different components in there that are about relationship building. about being, you know, building a good structure around you, building a good team around you, bringing people together. You know, there's so much, I think, in sports that are skill sets, strategies, and tactics that people don't realize that when a person comes out of a team sport environment, they could become a huge asset to any business and lifestyle because they understand what it is to work together. They understand what it is to fight for the common goal. They understand what it is to time management and who's the boss and, you know, doing your job. Make sure you do your job. You can't control other people, but you can control yourself. And there were so many components. And this is what I'm so grateful for with the sport. And everybody that I've met that's in the sport, and we talk about this, they say the same thing. It was such a privilege to be in the sport. And we are so grateful for the gifts that hockey gave us. It's an interesting journey because this sport became kind of like my biggest teacher slash lesson learner, you know, that I could apply to my life.
I know now you have the title of one of Canada's most inspiring speakers.
Yeah. Okay. So this is kind of funny, right? You know, what's interesting. I've been coaching, been in a dressing room, 18 players or more since I was 18. And then it moved into personal development and helping people individually and then helping business owners. So I've been doing all kinds of speaking. And every time I spoke, there was this common theme. He goes, "You're so inspiring. You're so inspiring." And I'd be like, "Oh, really? Oh, okay. I never thought about that." And then someone said, "You know what? You're one of the most inspirational speakers." And I went, "I'm Canadian. I'm the most inspiring. Okay, I'm Canada's most inspiring speaker."
I know that people have used that word for me. It's not my intention. I just talk about my story, and I think that's what you do. And in the passion that we have and the compassion that we have for ourselves and other, the inspiring and the motivation comes out, and that's what it helps people. Do you agree?
Exactly. Yeah, totally. And it's interesting you say that because one of the things I find is I just share the story because I feel that there's some pieces in my story that hopefully will help somebody else, or they take away, okay, I'm not going to make that mistake. You know, like they go, I'm going to learn something by, you know, look, I've done the pain. There's no need in you following that same pain. Like, don't follow me down this road because it's a dead end, you know, go down some other road. And so I just tell my story because I want just people to walk away living a better life. And what it turns out being is, and this is where the inspiration comes in. People go, "Oh my God, you're such inspiration. I thought my life was just kind of blah, 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 whatever." And now they're like, "Oh, I want to go do this and I want to try this," because they hear that if somebody can follow their dream for 30 plus years and then realize it, then there's hope. And what it's kind of interesting, but one of the companies that I have under Be Your Best Today, which is a personal development side, is Hopes, Wishes, and Dreams. And Hopes is this first level, and we all have it in us. And once it's in kind of like inspired, or once it's been lit or, you know, started, hope is what keeps us going as human beings. And so many movies have these as themes, right? Once if there's still hope, there's that ray of chance, of light, of opportunity. Okay, it can happen. Things, you know, something could turn around. You know, something better can be up there for me. My life can get better, whatever it is. And that's where I believe, you know, the inspiration and the hope factor kicks in. And so I just keep saying, you know what, just keep doing what you're doing, meaning myself, talking to myself, because you're here to help. And I know my mission like I know my mission. My mission now is to help other people live the life they love. And it's as simple as that sentence is. And people go, "Oh, yeah." And it's pretty generic because a lot of people can say those things. And I just go, but I just do it from talking, teaching, listening. I love training. You know, I love doing that with business owners. I love doing it with personal people. I get people one on the phone. I've been coaching for a long time. And here's an interesting thing. And I don't know if you get this, but I'll be out, whether it's working with one-on-one or in a group session, and I'll do it as a coaching session. But for me, coaching is like when I was coaching hockey. So it's like I'm trying to help you get a skill and get better at a skill and get it and understand it and tweak it and open your eyes and, you know, kind of just get your hands on. Let's do this. When I listen to life coaches today, and they're like, "Well, it's not about me. It's about you. And we're going to do these kind of questions and stuff." And I'm just like, "Oh man, like this is no, like this." I'm like, "Hands on. We got to crush this and push this." So I have a hard time when people say, "Do you coach?" And I go, "Yeah, I'm so hesitant about saying yes, I coach," because I go, "I don't coach like the other average person coaches."
Yeah. So we have about 5 minutes left. I have one question left. What can someone do today if they're not happy in their current relationship, whether it's a personal love relationship or maybe relationship with their work?
I find every relationship to be a reflection of what's going on inside you, right? So if you've got people in your life that you're not really happy with, or you feel like, oh, it's not kind of the right person, well, what are you doing to yourself, right? So as simple and high level as that is, the basic question is, how do you feel about yourself? I have this kind of a fun little three-step process, but the simplest step is, first of all, take inventory of yourself. What do I know? Who am I? What am I all about? Because the minute you get solid in yourself, the minute you understand who you are and who you are, not as who am I as a human being, but who am I as like, what is Kevin? What does he stand for? What does he believe? What are my values? What's important to me? And then I become in line with that. In other words, I say, okay, if this is what I believe to be true for me and this is important to me, then this is what I need to have. And I need to be upfront and honest and open with other people. Because you know what we do? By the way, we will do more for other people than we will for ourselves.
Uh-huh. We'll treat other people better than we treat ourselves too.
Oh, absolutely. And so what happens is we get caught up in these paradigms. We get caught up in these things that goes, oh, I got to drop everything for that person. I got to drop everything. And I've been guilty of that, right, for many, many years. Like, just stop everything for everybody else. Why? Why? Because they're more important than you are? And it's like, wait a minute. Like, when do I become important in my life? So the first thing I would say to anybody is, you got to get important with yourself. So the minute you can look in the mirror and say, I'm enough, the minute you can look in the mirror and say, you know what, I love you and I care about you and I like how I look and like how you look where you are right now. And I'm going to tell you, I don't care if you're skinny, fat, wherever you are, you got to appreciate you where you are right now. Once you start doing that and you have this appreciation that comes over you, now you start watching your relationships change because other people start appreciating or actually going away. You actually find like, hey, that relationship, I just don't talk to them anymore. And the best analogy I can use is like a radio station playing, right? You're playing 105.9 and they're at 93.2. Well, guess what? The stations never cross. It just doesn't work. And so your energy level is at one, their energy is at another. And so the first thing is just take care of you and appreciate you and be honest and open and trusting with you. And once you do that, here's a cool thing. Here's the next question. So what do you want? So what do you want? So you go, wow, I care about myself. I truly, truly love me. And I know that I'm good for other people as well, but I'm loving me. Great. So what do I want? And now you start the creating process. Now you start going, oh, this is what I like. I'm not doing it out of guilt and shame and fear. I'm doing it out of compassion for me. I love me and I care about me. And this is what I really, truly desire and what's good and what feels good. And now you start creating from a positive perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like to add, the other question would be, what do I need to learn in order to get what I want? Because I think a lot of people, they have all these goals, like, you know, I want to make $20,000 a month and all this stuff. But it's like, what tools do I need in order to get that?
Exactly. And the resources and people. And yeah. It's actually well said because the learning process is never ending.
Yep. And it's like we said in the beginning. Is it good?
Yeah. Ongoing every
right.
day.
I know you have a gift to give to our listeners. Can you tell us about it?
Absolutely. Free giveaway. So reinvent your dreams in 3 easy steps. And to give, and people, I believe you're going to have the link posted for someone. But it's so easy. I mean, I've been doing this. I've been coaching since 18. I'm 53. So it's been around a long time. And they work. I'm telling you, it's like you just follow these 3 little steps. Take action on them. So what you'll do is you'll basically take inventory. My whole thing is this. It's focus, vision, and application. So focus is, if you're looking and dreaming and wishing all these kind of things, that's great. But the minute you get focused, the minute you get clarity and understand where you are in the present moment, like be in the moment, you can now go, okay, now what I want. And this is where vision kicks in, which is kind of like step 2. And as that vision kicks in, you go, oh, okay, I got it. Now I got something to shoot for. And then you go into application, which is basically taking the action. Now, taking action, like you just said, what do I need to learn? Who do I need to meet? What do I need to connect with? Right. So there's a whole application is there's a lot that goes involved. But the best picture, if you want to do for yourself, is I say, okay, take your bow and arrow and you take it. And I say, okay, now cock your bow and you got the arrow in it and they're ready to go. And I say, okay, now shoot it. And the first thing that should go through your mind is, well, where am I aiming? And I say, yeah. So if there's no target, you can shoot your arrow anywhere and anything will happen. Or you can actually get a target and now aim at the target. And now you get something to measure with and see where you want to go.
Yeah, I agree. Well, thank you so much, Kevin. And listeners, all of the information to get a hold of Kevin and to get the free giveaways in the show notes. And thank you so much for sharing your time and your knowledge, Kevin.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on, and continued success. You're doing an amazing job. Keep inspiring those people out there.
Thank you. And listeners, until next time, always be learning and always be growing.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Go to parentpumpradio.com and click on the pink box on the top of our homepage to listen to our new and archived shows. To be instantly notified of new episodes, subscribe to our RSS feed. The RSS feed button is located at the top of the page where all our shows are featured. And after listening to the show, go to parentpumpradio.com or our Facebook page to leave your comments, questions, and topic suggestions. And while you're at our website, sign up to receive a free gift. Until next time, have a wonderful week.